Welcome to the Context Machine, episode number 674. I'm Brian Chaffin.
And I'm Jeff Gamet. Hey, check us out at our online home, youngsters. It's at contextmachine.io.
You can also use contextmachine.io to reach out to us, or you can find us on Mastodon at Context Machine, or Blue Sky at contextmachine.bsky.social. Do you see how I did that right?
You did that right. Oh, Brian, I am so proud of you.
I know.
Yeah. My little Brian, he's growing up. Hey, no, Brian.
No.
But on an exciting note, yeah. Did you know that our sponsors today are Incogni and Rogue Amoeba?
Fantastic. Rogue Amoeba. I'm excited about both of these sponsors.
Yeah.
We're going to tell you more.
Back Incogni.
We're going to tell you more about them later in the show.
I think that sounds great.
So we actually have a pretty full.
We always have a full show. Were you going to say we're pretty full of it?
Well, that is true. We do not always have a full. Anyway,
when was the last time we had a show where there were several minutes of silence and then we're like, okay, maybe we should do the end bumpers?
Well, we have done that. Well, I mean, we edited it out, but that has been a thing. I mean, what? Anyway, I don't think that's the flex you think it is, sir.
It probably isn't. Oh man, could you imagine though? Just we run out of something to talk about. Like that would ever happen for us, and we just sit there for like 2 or 3 minutes going shh. So
yes, I can. Anyway, listen, have you watched the new season? Have you started the new season of Dark Winds? Have you watched any season of Dark Winds?
Is Dark Winds the one with the like the multiple realities for the guy?
No, first of all, it's produced by two fellows, two little known people. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but George R. R. Martin and Robert Redford.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Right. It is set in the Navajo Nation and features mostly Navajo or at least a Native American cast.
I have not watched this, but I've had several people tell me, holy forking shirtballs, Jeff, you need to be watching this.
Yeah, it's a great show. Why haven't you watched it?
It's on Hulu, isn't it?
It's on AMC.
Oh.
So you'd have to watch it either on cable or AMC Plus. It may also be on Hulu. I know a lot of things don't have that. Yeah, fair enough. Well, anyway, it's a great, terrific, wonderful show. It's set in the 70s. It is centered around a Lieutenant Leoporn, I think is his name, and he's got two primary deputies, and anyway. They're Navajo. They're dealing with a lot of racism, especially racism from the FBI and things like that.
Sure.
They're also like Navajo spiritualism and magic for, to use my word for it. I don't know what the Navajo would call it, but it's kind of real, and that's freaking okay. It's almost makes it like a paranormal show, but it's not. It's so great. And the first two seasons are short. The first season in particular is only 6 episodes. I think the second season might be 8 episodes. The writer's strike That was one of the things that they wanted stopped. Six episode seasons, right?
Oh, right.
So yep. I'm sure that this season will be longer than season three. Just started this last Sunday, and I'm sure that this season will be longer than that. But anyway, the point is, it's a great show. It is a fantastic show. The cast is terrific. They do, in my opinion, they do a really good job of keeping everything 70s, you know, like, you know, cell phones aren't a thing. And I feel like they do a good job of keeping it properly centered in the 70s. It's cool. It's a fantastic show, man. I love it. It's one of my favorites.
All right. So what I'm hearing is I need to make the effort to find a way to have access to this show.
Yes.
All right. All right. I don't have access to that one, but you know, there's so many great shows. It's like Severance season 2.
Yeah.
Holy crap. There's one episode left in the season, and I am caught up on that, and where they left it at the end of episode 9 in this season. I just, where are they going to take us in that 10th episode?
Right.
The setup for that last episode, man.
I loved the previous episode. I loved how much they showed us without telling us much at all.
Yes. It's okay. I'm liking how they've been, I guess, taking risks with what they're doing.
Yeah.
With this season.
Yeah.
And approaching some of the storytelling from an angle that you wouldn't expect and could potentially backfire on them, but I don't think it does.
Yeah. Yep.
Am I up speaking today? What's up with that?
Well, that's okay. We'll forgive you this once.
Okay. Thank you. At least I realized it before we got through a whole hour of a show.
That's true. So Severance has been terrific this season, and I've definitely loved it.
Yeah, same. I'm already looking forward to season 3, which I'm assuming it'll be a while before we get it.
Yeah, probably. Probably will be. Yeah, definitely a while. Have you watched Daredevil Reborn, I think it is? I think that's the...
Yes. I've watched the first two episodes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Daredevil Reborn.
Okay.
Yeah. I need to watch episode 3. That's the one that came out this week. Haven't had a chance yet.
I've watched it. Just kidding.
Yeah. you know me so well. I was mildly concerned going into the first two episodes because it's just straight up a Disney property now, and Disney could flex its mouse muscles and say, you know, you kind of need to dial it back a little bit. And they didn't. They let the writers and producers run with this and make it so Daredevil. Like I feel like in some ways those first two episodes are actually ramped up from what we saw in the Daredevil series when it aired originally, the first series when it aired on Netflix.
That's fair. I loved the long shot. I don't know. So my assumption is that was an actual long shot.
From what I understand, when they do long shots in Daredevil, it's a single shot always.
Right. I haven't seen or I haven't looked it up. I don't know that it's actually a long shot, and it's possible that they're simply coasting on their reputation for doing long shots to make that seem like a long shot. That's possible, but
it's possible.
I don't think so either.
Well, to add more to the possibility that it is a single shot, the cinematographer from season one of the original Daredevil series, where the long shot originated, mm-hmm. that's the person that cinematographer this series.
Excellent. Excellent. I also like the logo for the show. I like the way they use the city where
yes.
at first it looks like it's blood dripping down from Daredevil.
And then you realize it's a series.
Yeah. Yeah. What I don't like about Daredevil is how dark it is. Like that was my problem with the Penguin TV show.
You mean like cinematography wise?
No. Just the unrelenting craptacularness of everything.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I'm not, I mean, I understand that the point of the show is that things are getting so dark, it forces Daredevil to become Daredevil again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that's where we're going with this. And, but
that would make sense for a Daredevil show.
Right. And it's just like right now, man, I don't need more darkness. There's enough darkness in reality.
You know, if I get it. If you want to have some Daredevil where it's not dark and it can feel a little bit lighthearted, just go back and watch She-Hulk again, which, by the way, I think is far underrated by people.
Oh, yeah, I love She-Hulk. That was
a brilliant series.
She-Hulk was great. Yeah, and it's not that I need Daredevil to be happy and goofy and stuff like that. It's just the unrelenting darkness is kind of a drag for me at this moment in time. And I'm also hoping that Daredevil kicks that darkness's butt and, you know, I don't know, we'll see.
Well,
it's certainly great. It's great TV. And it's well shot, it's well cast. Yeah.
Well, the underlying vibe with Daredevil, running all the way back to the original series first episodes, this is about Matt Murdock finding redemption of some sort in some context. So he hopefully will have found some sort of redemption by the end of the series, and it will feel lighter and brighter on some level.
Right. Fair enough. And anything else to say?
No, I was just going to contradict myself because we have seen where a season will end and that redemption did not happen.
Yeah.
Anyhow, carry on.
The showrunners and what's the actor's name who plays Daredevil?
Vincent D'Onofrio and Charlie Cox. There yes. we go.
It is possible that the showrunners and Charlie Cox, I feel like they are fantastic stewards for this property. Not that I know a ton about Daredevil from the comics. By the way,
the Daredevil comics are very dark usually.
The Daredevil comics are also set in New York City, not in Gotham, right?
Gotham is a DC property.
Oh, duh. Good Lord. Oh, man. I need to... That just needs to go away entirely.
Yeah, Daredevil is definitely in New York City, and
Star City is the Green Arrow,
and that's also a DC property. Yep.
Oh man, I have to hang up whatever pretense at comic whatever that I might have possibly have pretended to claim. I got to hang it up.
Yeah, you really do. Brian, yeah. I'm going to give you a little thing you can use to help keep it straight.
Okay.
If the city is real, it's most likely Marvel.
Oh, okay.
If that the makes city sense. Is fake, it's most likely DC.
Well, I mean, okay. Okay, thank you. That's good. Thank you. And to all the proper comic fans out there, I apologize for being such a loser. Ichabod.
Our loser, we love you.
Ichabod.
Yeah, even Ichabod is chastising you.
Yes, and that's fair.
People, we can't write comedy like this. It just pours out.
Nope. Speaking of writing comedy, there's Reacher. And I've had good things to say about Reacher in the past. I am not anywhere near as sanguine about season three. Both from a philosophical standpoint and like the acting, the gentleman who plays Reacher, his acting is fine, and it's good. He's good at being Reacher. Some of the supporting actors,
Brian, yeah. Just to tie it back into the whole comics thing for you, some salt in the wound. The star of Reacher, by the way, I haven't watched any episodes yet. He was in the Teen Titans TV series, live action series.
Yeah. I think
a DC property.
I think I saw him mention that on Colbert. For whatever that's
worth. There you go. Tied it back to the comics for you.
Great. Thank you for that. That's very important. Anyway, the acting from some of the supporting actors is pretty amateurish, and the Reacher is not great this season.
I have a question for you about Reacher.
Yeah.
And just so you know, this isn't a tool to find another dig at comics for you. It's a legit question. So there was the Reacher movie by that had Tom Cruise in it. Mm-hmm. And I never watched because a lot of people said it's just another Tom Cruise action movie. They just happened to option the rights to use the Reacher name. And people have said, but the TV series is much truer to the books and to the character of Reacher. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, I do think that's true, for good and for ill. So I did see the movie, the Jack Reacher movie with Tom Cruise. I thought it was a fun, great Tom Cruise action film. I didn't know anything about the books at that point. I ended up reading three or four of Lee Child's books after I saw that he had a series on writing on Masterclass, BBC's Masterclass.
Oh, okay.
And in reality, so yes, the TV show hews much closer to the books. And in particular, this actor is much more appropriate for playing Reacher than Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is short. Reacher is huge. And the gentleman, the Alan Richardson is his name. He's huge. He's like, I think he's actually 6'5", and that's how tall Reacher is. And he's super muscly and stuff like that. My quibbles about the writing is that Lee Childs said that he made it his mission in life for Reacher to never grow, to never change. And
okay,
that and I admire how he, Lee Childs, how he set out to he identified several things that were common in this genre of literature at the time when he started the Reacher books, which was quite some time ago. And he set about to systematically turn those things on its head, on their heads. And I admire that. You know, he set out, I'm more of a discovery writer, and I don't write from a plan, and I'm certainly not ticking off bullet points. And Lee Childs did, and I admire that he did that. And you know, so he set out. He made sure that Reacher never changed. He made sure that Reacher always succeeds. He never fails. And so he doesn't even have like temporary setbacks where, like, you know, oh my goodness, how does he come back for it? And oh, he came back from it. Like, you know, what? And he in his masterclass, he said very specifically that he doesn't like seeing that. And so he wanted to, you know, he's made sure that Reacher has done that. And he's handed the series off either to his kid or to someone else. And you know, they've apparently agreed to follow the Lee Child's Bible for the series. Anyway, some of these aspects are what is wrong with season three of this show, in my opinion. It's straining my suspension of disbelief.
Okay. I feel like you have to have your hero fail at times so that you can have the redemption or the recovery, so the stakes can go higher.
Well, that's true. And Reacher in the series, I read three or four of the books. Maybe I had it in my head I was going to read all of them and abandon that. In particular,
you pulled a Jeff, you dropped something.
Well,
you dropped an entertainment franchise.
Yes, I did. It's not like Reacher doesn't suffer setbacks. He does suffer setbacks, in particular when there's misdirection or something like that. So it's not that nothing ever goes wrong for Reacher. It's just this concept that Reacher has to always come out on top. And I get Lee Child's angle on that. It's not necessarily what I want to read.
That's fair. I can see where there might be an audience that just appeals to them.
Yeah.
I know who my good guy is, and I know in the end he always wins.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not like Lee Childs was telling this to an audience of authors. He wasn't advertising this to readers. I mean, not that readers couldn't find out what he had said in this masterclass, but
sure.
I definitely feel like Reacher is a great series for people who want a light, exciting read.
Okay. And there's definitely an audience
for that. There's a huge audience for that.
I'm not saying that in a derogatory way.
He has sold a crap ton of books. Good for him.
Good for him.
Good for him. And I'll watch season four too, I might add.
Of course you will.
But I'm hoping it'll be better. I like season one and I like season two. I haven't liked season three.
Well, I guess not every season can be the best.
That's true. That's true. Well, but so far, you could like all three series, all three seasons.
Okay, fair. Fair.
Okay. So let's talk about Incogni. They're one of our sponsors.
Yeah. This week.
They're working on your behalf against the data brokers. Data brokers collect, they aggregate, they sell all of your personal information, including names, aliases, social security numbers, login credentials, home addresses, location history, online activity, like anything that they can get their hands on. They're buying and selling that to other third parties. And that can obviously lead to spam. It can lead to identity theft. It can lead to a loss of control over your personal information, to say the least. And what Incogni does is they will contact the data brokers, issue takedown notices on your behalf, and deal with the companies ongoing until they get your information removed.
Nice.
Yes. And in a nutshell, your personal information, it's being sold or published online without you even knowing about it. The good news is that you do have the right to protect your privacy and request that data brokers delete the information they hold about you. And the bad news, though, is that it can take you a long time to do it manually, just the one time. Incogni will manage that process for you. And I've already seen examples of it. They gave me an account, and I had a response to a takedown notice within the first day. It's
wow.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So here's the deal. You can take your personal data back with Incogni. Just use context at incogni.com/context. I'm going to spell that out for you. It's incogni.com/context. Use the code context at that link and get 60% off an annual plan.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice deal.
This is a good service. I'm delighted that they are sponsoring us, and I'm glad that we get to talk about them with you. We have been very security conscious from the get-go, and I would like it if you checked them out.
Wow. Yes. Thank you, Incogni.
Yes, indeed. So we have Apple taking a long time in the AI space. That's what I got. Like, what the crap?
What the crap is right. Yeah, it feels like Apple had a lead in this space early on.
Yeah.
With
the machine learning. They were talking about machine learning.
Right.
And
yeah, so we had the S Lady, we had stuff they're doing with photos and learning our routines. I talked over you. Please carry on.
Well, I mean, I feel like Apple should have been talking about machine learning more, because they basically gave up the term to quote unquote AI, which has become shorthand for generative AI, which is not artificial intelligence.
No, it's not. It's large language models and statistical probability.
Yeah, and hallucinations. I feel like this was Apple's space to own, and the reality is that they've ceded a lot of ground. And we've talked about this off and on for years on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen a lot of people saying Apple's falling behind, and that in particular, it used to be frustrating to have people talking about Alexa being ahead of Apple when that was, you know, rote repetition, rote training. It was often for years, it seemed like the competition, Apple's competition, they were selling a product that was training you.
Mm-hmm.
But Apple seemingly hasn't followed through. And I don't understand why Apple, more specifically, I feel like Apple has the oomph. They have the access to the data needed to do this kind of training. And I don't understand why they haven't been able to follow through.
You know, I'm with you. I'm kind of at a loss. I think that a lot of people are on the track of thinking, well, it's because Apple is so focused on our security and privacy. It's created these boundaries that they have to work within, and that has limited what they can do. And sure, I think that's part of it, but I don't think that's all of it. Mm-hmm. I think that there's something happening or not happening behind the scenes at Apple that is hampering their progress. And they just simply are not producing what they thought they would be able to make.
Yeah, and it was John Gruber who essentially sparked off the conversation Jeff and I are having right now. He wrote something this week, blah, blah, me, blah, 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 me. I don't know. What?
I'll have a link to it in our show notes. Everyone can go and read it. Despite Brian's take, the gist of it is that Apple has been showing off features that don't exist. They have been making promises that they have not kept. They have even used these artificially created concepts. And I'm calling them artificially created because they haven't shown that there's any product that actually exists for these features. But they've used that in advertising to sell iPhones, knowing full well that these features that they're showing people using on iPhones don't exist. And wow. And he's saying that this is showing that there's some sort of problem going on at Apple because they're now squandering the trust that people have in their products because they're making promises that they aren't following through on.
Yeah, generally speaking, when Apple says it'll do something, it does it, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking.
Now we're in a place where we question that.
Yeah, and Mr. Gruber made the point, for instance, about what was that charging thing? I can't remember what it's called. I had a stroke.
Fair. You did. So you have an excuse.
Air power.
I had a stroke. Air power. I was going to say AirPad. Air power. Yep.
Yeah. Well done. Anyway, John pointed out that air power was also a recent miss. And he also pointed out that like no one really cared about that in the first place. So, you know. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, and he's right. He's right about essentially everything in this piece dealing with Apple Intelligence. It is curious why Apple is seemingly struggling in this area. And I'd like to add, Genmoji can't handle some very basic things. And the same thing with Image Playground.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to take it a step farther. I think it's weird that accessing Genmoji to create your own things is not an obvious process.
Yeah.
Like, I ended up having to Google how to do it. And even then, I was like, this doesn't quite make sense. And when I figured it out, it's like, oh, okay, I see this, but this is not an obvious process.
Yeah, I feel like there should be a Genmoji app so that you have a central place to go to create these things. And then once you do, it's then available through your emoji, you know, wherever your text input is, you've got your created things there that you can, that you should be able to create them from any text input, but there should also be a Genmoji app.
Yes. And, but you can't create them from any text input. It's only some text inputs.
So it's also fair.
I agree that there should be a standalone app where you can go in and create Genmojis to your heart's content, and then they automatically appear everywhere you can use an emoji.
Yeah, and there is a standalone Image Playground app, only it's not very good, and it doesn't understand. It doesn't understand a lot. And this is a little concerning, considering, again, the head start that Apple had with Siri.
Yes, I agree. However, what's more concerning for me, because these feel like flashy features to keep people excited about what Apple's doing, whereas the productivity things that we should be able to do with Apple's machine learning, Apple intelligence, whatever you want to call it, the things that aren't even there yet, that's very frustrating for me, especially in light of Amazon announcing Alexa Plus. We're in March now, so it would have been last month, and showing off these features that work in context, something that Apple has promised us. But we still haven't seen Alexa stop. Sorry about that, everyone. I just triggered my A-Lady device.
Oh, I didn't hear.
It's okay. I did, and I'm not sure what it was about to do, but I think it was going to cost me money, so I stopped it. But anyhow, the things that were shown off for A-Lady Plus in February that let you take things like one of the examples they used was something along the lines of, hey, I've got my work schedule. Are there any conflicts coming up that I need to be aware of? And then it goes through and it checks all that and then highlights all of that information and helps you figure out where your conflicts are, or something like being able to ask about restaurants, like where's the best Thai restaurant near me? Mm-hmm. And you happen to be at home, so it knows near me also means right. Near home.
Right.
It knows the places you've eaten before and the things that you like, and then is able to recommend what is most likely to be the restaurant you want to go to. But then being able to take all of these things that aren't otherwise connected, put them together for you so you have a context and can work with them. The things that Apple's been promising us.
Yeah, that was what in the early days of Siri versus Alexa versus Google Home.
Mm-hmm.
Apple was telling us that we're working on making Siri understand you, as opposed to, again, just having these rote phrases that you have to learn to pop off. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like Apple's made much progress on that front in years.
I agree.
I mean, that was like 10 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. The S Lady is 13 years old this year.
Yeah. So that would have been about 10 years ago when Apple was telling us that. And what has happened since?
It's, Not a lot. It feels very frustrating. At my HomePods at this point are relegated primarily to me telling it to play music, then arguing with it to get it to play the music that I actually asked it to play, and having it not understand what I want it to do when I give it a home kit command.
Yeah.
Like turn on a specific set of lights. I feel like we have not made any progress over the past 13 years with this.
Yeah.
And then salt in the wound, Amazon, when they showed off the A-Lady Plus features, they said, here are the devices it will work on initially. And they're very specific. And it will be available on some other devices later on. They said, here's when it'll be available. They didn't give us an exact date, but they said by the end of March. And I think their exact words were late March. And they said, here's how much it costs. So if you don't have any other Amazon services to take advantage of A-Lady Plus, it'll be $19 a month. But if you already pay for Amazon Prime, it's included. Hmm. So they've given us some pretty concrete information about when these features will be available. And with Apple, we don't know. Things they showed off at WWDC 2024, we aren't getting for who knows how long. Apple did an announcement in the last few days where they let everyone know that a lot of the stuff that they promised is not coming until next year.
Yeah. Then that's what sparked John Gruber's column, for what that's worth.
Yeah.
And also, don't forget, this is another point that Jeff and I have made, and certainly many other people have made many times over the years. Apple has all of the money. Right? Apple has, like, there is nothing that Apple can't pay for. There is literally nothing that Apple could not buy unless it's not for sale.
But with the money they have, even that could be for sale.
Right. I don't understand why Apple is struggling so on this front.
I agree. I mean, Apple is doing some really great things. And like, they just recently rolled out the new Mac Studios and the new MacBook Airs and the new iPad Air and the iPhone 16e. And we know there's more stuff coming this year because Apple always has new stuff. And yet this one part of their business seems to be languishing, floundering.
Yeah.
Stalled. I don't know what the right word to use is, because we all don't know what's going on inside.
Right. We don't.
It's concerning and frustrating. And one of the things that Gruber points out in his piece is that that this is eroding credibility and trust. And I have felt that myself for quite a while, because I've been very frustrated with the lack of progress in Apple's voice automation and their general automation, their AI efforts. I just feel like nothing has happened for a long time. And even products that are more than a decade old, like the S Lady, still feel to me like a rough beta.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And that's kind of frustrating. Speaking of don't need dark things in my life, let's talk about a company, a Mac company, hitting everything on all cylinders.
I would like to talk about that. Rogue Amoeba.
Yeah.
Because I am a big Rogue Amoeba fan.
Same. I am so excited that they're sponsoring us.
So am I. Yes. So Rogue Amoeba, they have a wide array of apps that you can use to harness the audio on your Mac and then do with it as you please. So everything from recording and routing audio to gaining complete control over sound with app level effects, that's all what they're doing with their products. Total transparency here. I use Audio Hijack. I use Farrago. I use Fission. I use Loopback. And I use Sound Source. Those are all Rogue Amoeba products. The one that I'm not using, Piezo, I'm not using that because I'm using Audio Hijack. But if you need like a simple audio capture tool that just, it just works, Piezo. And, it's an affordable price. So, the other one I'm not using is Airfoil, which lets you take all your audio and, from your Mac and send it everywhere. It's super cool. And as I'm talking about it, wow, I should probably be using that. But Sound Source, I could not get through the day without that, letting me manage all of the audio on my Mac and making sure that I have the right inputs and outputs for every app that I use. And as a podcaster, Audio Hijack can't work without it.
Yep, same. We couldn't make this show without Audio Hijack.
Right.
And Loopback.
Yep. So instead of just continuing to spend tons of time waxing poetic about all of this, I'm going to tell you where you can go learn more about it. So yes, you can learn about all of Rogue Amoeba's software at macaudio.com/context. macaudio.com/context. Use that link so that they know that you heard about Rogue Amoeba's products here on Context Machine. Also, through the end of May, because these people are so generous, Context Machine listeners, you can save 20% off any purchase using the coupon code CONTEXT.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So if you're not using something, like... if you realize, hey, I should really get some Sound Source action going on, 20% off right there. So, hey, thank you, Rogue Amoeba, for being our sponsor.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm a little fanboyish about Rogue Amoeba.
Same. I'm fanboyish too about how you've been able to just like have a lot of your personal info scrubbed from those data brokers.
Yeah, I'm. Fair. So let's talk about you brought something to my attention about the end-to-end encryption for RCS.
Right. And I did love the first thing you said to me about that, which is, what's RCS? I'm kidding, everyone. Bray knows what RCS is.
No, I didn't know what RCS was. I had no idea what RCS was.
Oh, I thought you were kidding. Oh, okay. Well,
in
that case.
I was not kidding, sir.
Okay. Anyhow, well, now you know what RCS is. And any day that we learn something,
okay,
that's a good
day. Can I remind you that I had a stroke? Can you please tell me again what RCS is?
Sure. So RCS is the planned, it's already in place. It's intended to be the successor to SMS and MMS. And the thing is, text messaging evolved into this multimedia texting thing, and it was never really intended or designed to be able to handle all of that. And it's been getting kind of long in the tooth. So RCS was created as a platform, as a protocol, a standard that companies and developers can adopt for messaging, and it allows for images and video and audio in ways that SMS and MMS never could, and it's it's a platform agnostic thing. So it's a thing that we're seeing more and more on iOS as more carriers add in support for RCS. And it's a thing that you're seeing on Android phones too. So it's truly a cross-platform thing. Here's the thing though, it didn't have a standard in it for end-to-end encryption. So when Apple adopted RCS, they adopted what the GSM Association published as the standard. No end-to-end encryption. Google was spending a lot of effort really pushing people or companies to adopt their proprietary end-to-end encryption layer on top of RCS. Apple said no because they didn't want to get tied into Google's proprietary technology. They said, hey, we will adopt RCS. Excuse me, we will adopt end-to-end encryption in RCS when the GSM Association gives us a standard for that. And as we record, that announcement came out this morning. So GSM Association said, we now have the end-to-end encryption element, and that's part of RCS Universal Profile 3.0. That came out today, shortly after the GSM Association made the announcement. Then Apple said, we are adding end-to-end encryption to RCS. And of course, they'll be using the actual standard. And so, Brian, here's my quick take on that. Of course, Apple made the announcement. Apple, Google, a bunch of other companies, they're part of this association. So Apple's been actively involved on some level in helping bring end-to-end encryption to RCS. So of course they made the announcement today. And Apple didn't give us a timeline on when that will happen. But since they've been involved in this process all along, I'm assuming that they could make it happen before iOS 19 if they choose, but we'll see. The other thing that that just totally on a personal level, I think Apple announcing when they did was just kind of a subtle way to remind Google that, yeah, we had no intention of ever supporting your proprietary standards.
That's fair, and I'm all for a petty swipe.
Sure.
But my question is, so will this, do you think this will end up being incorporated into Apple's iMessage app for dealing for texting people who are not using iMessage?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I believe that's an important part of Apple making the announcement today.
So this would require, for that to happen, it feels like that would require people on AT&T using an Android device for AT&T and Google to support this both.
Since it's part of the standard, yeah, I guess the carriers would probably, well, that's a good question. The software developers for RCS compatible messaging apps on Android would have to add support.
I feel like AT&T and you know, T-Mobile and all the carriers would also have to. I don't know that to be the case, and this could be simply my ignorance thinking about this, but I do feel like it would require the support of the carriers. iMessage. iMessage bypassed the carriers.
Yes. And what's happening in iMessage isn't going to stop happening. This will just be an additional thing that's supported in the Messages app.
Right. And I'm wondering how this will play in the UK, which is
that's a really good question, because the UK is the place that's pushing to have access into encrypted data right now.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so I call this a good thing, and it could even be a thing where we no longer have to hate green bubbles.
You'll still see the green bubbles.
Yeah, but there may not be all the craptacularness that comes along with that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of craptacularness that we experience with that right now.
Well, simply because Apple has recently reduced that level of craptacularness at the pushing of EU regulators. Sending read receipts, being able to do our do reactions to messages without it showing up weird, right? You know, those are all recent additions to iMessage dealing with green bubbles, and I feel like
I believe that's all related to RCS.
Okay, good.
That makes sense. So that's not Apple.
That makes sense.
Going out of their way to add to,
well, they went out of their way to
iMessage do that. I don't think they did go out of their way to support it, because they were part of the group that was working on creating the standard in the first place.
Okay, but they did have to do the work. I think we're probably
sure
we're probably not at odds here. You're not wanting to give them credit for the work. I'm wanting to give them credit for the work.
No, I'm giving them credit for the work. I just don't feel like they went out of their way to add RCS support. It was part of their roadmap.
Okay. That seems weird. That's fine.
Your apology.
That's, you can choose to do so.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for catching us up on that.
Sure. How about if I add in a little PSA, which is that in iOS 18.4, which supposedly is coming out in April, there will be RCS support for several more cell service providers, and I believe most of those are MVNOs. So people like me who use Mint Mobile, we will have RCS support in iOS 18.4.
Thus, proving my point that the carriers will have to support this new thing for it to be a thing.
Yeah, okay, sure. I'll accept that.
I accept your apology.
And it is a thing that before you have RCS on your carrier, they have to add support to their infrastructure. So sure, okay, we'll go with that.
All right, yay! I'm right. Yay!
Yay! I wish I'd found a way to talk around that so we didn't enable you. But yeah, you do the talking part now. Go ahead.
Right. That's this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, you can write us at contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded just for the show. Jeff, that's all for this week, man.
It is. But before we walk away, I want to say thank you to Incogni and Rogue Amoeba for being our sponsors this week. Seriously, thank you to both those companies.
Right. Let's. Why don't you recap what they can do on Rogue Amoeba?
Sure. Head over to macaudio.com/context to learn more about their products, and use the discount code CONTEXT to get 20% off any purchase.
And if you go to incogni.com/context, and use the code CONTEXT, you can get 60% off of an annual plan.
Nice.
Yeah, that's great. So anyway, thanks for our sponsors.